Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dagdag.
God bless America, and this was Kent Larson from the state of Minnesota with you, Usama Dagdag, and hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, September 4th of the year of our Lord, 2021. My month in the words are a little bit off. And Christy Johnson in the background here, she's laughing at me because I said March. It's not March, it's September. It's a sad month. And it is a sad program today. That's why I'm thankful to the Lord that I am here in Minnesota so we can listen to some good songs. Music only. Brother Kent will not be singing tonight. He will just play some music for us as we continue our program. And the first one was, obviously, God Bless America. With us tonight, as usual, our producer and the co-host, the one and only one, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. Hello, Christy, and how are you?
Well, Usama, I'm doing good and thankful for God limiting the impact of Hurricane Ida on the state of Mississippi. But I will say that it has hit many, many people really hard, including in New York. So we pray for all those people, especially Louisiana. In the devastation there is it's been just unbelievable. This is like Hurricane Katrina when it hit Mississippi. So all of us, you know, need to pray for God to bless our country, restore our country to faith in Him. But all of those who are right now suffering because of the hurricane, I think it's important to know that, you know, these trials and difficulties also have an impact on unbelievers who may be seeking the Lord for the first time. And so those agencies that are going over to help those that have lost their property, who are homeless right now, who don't have water, food, electricity, and I have family members that are in that situation in Louisiana. They're not in New Orleans, but they are in other areas that were hit really hard. And you know what? Yeah. This is a great time for Christian ministries who are there, and I know we're going to see people like Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, the Salvation Army and Red Cross, and others who are going to minister to the needs. And I know what that's like, because when Katrina hit in 2005, we were very devastated in Mississippi, and it was a hard time, but it was also a great time where Christians had a chance to show that God can bless even in the midst of a crisis. So keep that in mind and pray for our country. Pray for those who are.
Amen. Amen. Believe it or not, Christy, today in my radio program, which I do at 3 o'clock Central Time, was in Arabic program, of course, the Arabic language. I was sharing with my people the account of Yunus in the Quran, which is the story of Yunus as Muhammad made it up, taken from the biblical account, which is Jonah, in the book of Jonah, these four chapters. And the one thing I believe, there's so much lessons we can learn from that account. First of all, that the people of Nineveh were sinners. The people of Nineveh were living wrong. And the message of the Lord to Jonah, first time and second time, as he gave him the second chance to do what is right, is repent.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not do what is in 40 days, the Lord will destroy Nineveh. And I'm thankful to the Lord because he put that account in the Bible, not because it's a story, no, it's something really happened. It took place.
Yes.
The king and the people of Nineveh repented, and the order has been given that there will be fasting. Not even the animals, the cows and the goats and the sheep and the horses and all the creatures were put to fast as the order given from the king. They were broken before God, and God healed their land. And I love what Jonah said in chapter 4, verse 2. And here we see why he was not actually interested in the first place to go to Nineveh. That's why he escaped and he went to Tarshish. Listen to what the scripture said. And he, that is Jonah, prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repented thee of the evil. Of course, Jonah was upset because God shows his mercy and his gracious spirit to the people of Nineveh. But guess what? We are worse than Nineveh. And I believe this is a great account for us to learn from. If the people of America can read Jonah, four chapters, it would take about 10 minutes to read all of these four chapters, and figure out, we are going to be in trouble. Crisis is coming. And I know for sure that as the scripture fulfilled. So is this hurricane anything? How about have 10 more like it? And how about some more earthquake and some volcano and some drought and some place and fire in other places like we have right now in California? How about if we have tornado all over different parts of the land? How about if God will show his anger? If we do not repent, if we do not do what's right. Because the message of Nineveh, it's the same message to America. And I hope and I pray that the Lord will find us faithful, not to be angry, because things aren't going to turn around, but I hope and I pray that the people of America will repent. And true blessing of God will come on this night. As we just play the first song in our program tonight, God bless America. But I'm sorry to tell you, Christy, as you know and I know and all the believers who listen to us right now know that God cannot bless America if America continue to do what's wrong. And boy, oh boy, we're in deep trouble. We are in deep trouble. Go ahead, Christy.
Well, you know, Usama, it's not just that we're doing what's wrong. It's that people's hearts are turned away from God. Schumer, the head of the Senate, the Democrat-controlled Senate, I saw him making a speech. This terrible hurricane hits, and his response to that is, well, this is global warming. We have to pass this budget. We have to do all these things. You see, God knows that human nature human nature. I mean, you can see it in all cultures. You can see it throughout history. They recognize there is no controlling the weather. God knows that. And so when these things come, thank the Lord that we have the technology to warn people that it's coming, but we do not have the technology to stop it. But instead of praying, and asking God for his mercy, instead of repentance, Schumer and many people like him who are godless, and I'm sorry, they are godless, because their solutions are always, I have your solution, not God has your solution. It's always they believe they have the answer. And you know what's ridiculous? They even know they don't have the answer. They just want to put themselves in a position of being little mini savior gods. That's what they're doing. And that's why this country is becoming godless, because these individuals stand up against the God of nature saying, oh, we have your solution. No, they don't. They have no solution. What is their solution for an earthquake? What is their solution for the fires that you mentioned in California? What is their solution for the floods? I'm going to tell you the solution. Repentance, seek God. I'm telling you, every time there's a storm out there, I pray. And because after you went through Katrina or after you've been through a disaster, you realize these idiots, I'm sorry, in Washington, D.C., I might as well say what I think because we'll probably get cut off the air before long anyway. These idiots in Washington, D.C. take every advantage to use to lift themselves up instead of calling the nation to pray and to repentance. And every one of these disasters make them very happy because they can use it against you. But your own heart, if you are a human being, tells you they don't have your answer. I mean, get real. No. What are they going to do about any of this? Earthquakes, floods, fires?
American people, even the politicians, pray when real, real trouble comes through us, come to us. Only when, like, September 11th, we were praying for, I don't know, a couple months. Yeah, but if you're talking about true repentance, genuine repentance, living right before God, this will not take place as long as there are Democrats in control. It's like when Muslims are in control, there is no peace. Why? Because Allah, yes. John 47:55 says so. He commands them. They are only peaceful when they are weak, when they have the upper hand. Says peace, goodbye. And that is the reality with humans. We are not in need to God, unless, of course, we're a believer. If you're a believer, I need God every hour. I need God every minute. I need God when things are good. I need God when things are bad. I need God all the time. You cannot say every breath of my life can be taken except with the help of God. But for the wicked, they think they don't need God because they have no problem. Wait until they get from even the most atheist, the most unbeliever, those who hate God, when they get this bad news, when the doctor said, you have cancer, or she only have, or he's only have, whatever, these amount of hours or days to live. That's when you see them broke before God, on their knees begging God. But this is not the true genuine repentance. This is like circumstances prayer. And Americans know how to pray the circumstance prayer, but not a true loving relationship we have with our God to say, we love you and God bless us. God bless America.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Usama, and I agree with you completely. So until individuals are confronted with a personal crisis, and even then sometimes, it doesn't have an impact. I mean, I hear Joe Biden all the time talking about his son who died of cancer, okay? I hear that all the time. But he's perfectly willing to stand up and support the murdering of babies in the womb, because thank the Lord we had a victory take place in Texas, and we may have another one coming from the Supreme Court on the case in Mississippi. So, you know, it's like it made no impact on him. It made no impact on him. It's like, I'm sorry.
They're angry. They're mad. These Democrats are good mad about the decision of Texas, because they think, here's what I heard, I was watching TV, that some liberals say, now those who complain about the Taliban abusing the women, that's exactly what we in America are going through because of these conservatives, these Republicans who are controlling our bodies. Oh, Lord have mercy. We are controlling her body, from stopping her from killing the innocent baby, from shedding the innocent blood. Anyway.
Well, Usama, we have a really packed show, a lot of things, and I'm going to read this, and then I don't know if we're going to have another song, but I do want to let you know Paul may be joining us at some point on the phone. I don't see him yet, but he was spared from the Hurricane Ida that hit in Louisiana, went all the way up to New York, but fortunately he was not impacted by it, the area he lives in, so we thank God for that. But let me just read what is important for America and why they need to open their eyes and understand repentance. The truth about Islam is being revealed in Afghanistan, okay? And one of the things is that they lie about everything, because Islam teaches it's okay to do that, Usama, right? I mean, am I right about that?
Yes, ma'am, you're absolutely right. I cannot say anything, but you are almost 100% right.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, and now we have a story. I don't know how many of the mainstream media brought it up, but I did see it on OAN and on Real America's Voice, probably on Newsmax, that Muslim men are bringing their child brides to America. This, and they're asking, what do? We have these adult men, sometimes elderly men, who are coming to America because we brought them in these planes and we flew them to these military bases. And now they're saying, what do when they've got these little girls with them that are their brides? These are their wives. What are we supposed to do about that? Now, this is going to put the truth about Islam in front of American people, and the media will probably cover it up. But trust me, when the State Department is telling you they don't know what to do about this, I'll tell you what, you need to wake up. This is what Islam is all about. And we're going to talk about that. I have some pictures that I posted. Remember, I told you that it was very hard to find pictures before you could find in the past about children.
Yeah.
That had been abused by their husbands, and pictures of other things that have happened. I want you to look at the slideshow if you all haven't yet, because we do have a story of a woman who had acid thrown on her by her husband. And by the way, Afghani. We also have pictures of little girls who have been abused, beaten by their husbands. And I want people to see that, because I'm telling you, the media will cover this up. The internet will scrub this stuff off. If you can get the stories and be able to read that for yourself, because who knows what kind of lies are going to come out from the mainstream media to cover all this up, and how quickly it will be erased from the internet. You know, they used to say, you put something on the internet, it's there forever. And they used to warn you, hey, don't put anything embarrassing because you'll never get rid of it. Give me a break. They take everything off that tells the truth about some of these issues.
Stuff we see in 15 minutes. That's why I always advise people, if you see something important online, you better save it, you better record it, you better take note of it, because if it is that important, most likely when you go back to it in the following hour or two, you will never find it.
Yeah, you know, Usama, just an example, and this is not in Afghanistan. We're going to talk about that, but not in Afghanistan, but in India. And for those of you who still don't know, you can check out the Worthy News. They have lots of stories that are very important around the world, stories and from reliable sources. And here's a story of persecution in Christian. Some young people were attacked. A 16-year-old on his way to the market. This is in India. Mm. His family had converted to Christianity 2 years ago, and he was attacked with acid. We talked about, Usama, that when America is weak, when America is weak, persecution of Christians all over the world goes up. This and India isn't a Muslim country, although there are Muslims there. They didn't say who did this to him.
You and I know.
Yes.
That the world belongs to you. God Almighty through our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, or Satan throughout all other worldview. All other beliefs, all other religions, all other, there are thousands of roads which will lead people to destruction. Only one way, one road for eternal life, which is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except for me. This is the reality. So if there are Indians persecuting the Christian, or if the Buddhists persecuting the Christian, or the Jews persecuting the Christian, or their ancestors persecuting Christians, or whatever out there, especially Muslim persecuting the Christians, it's all the work of the devil.
Absolutely.
It's all the work of the devil. Christians do not persecute anybody. Born-again believer Christians love their enemy. And besides that, you will never find another belief anywhere, not in the last 6,000 years, for sure not in the future, which teaches to love its enemy except Christianity. No, show me where else. In other belief, it teach if your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. And if they're thirsty, give him something to drink. Bless those who are cursing you. Pray for those who hate you. And love those who hate you. This is not a normal message. This is the message of heaven. This is the message of truth. This is Christianity in a nutshell. So, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter who is persecuting the Christian. It is the devil using anybody and everybody to persecute the Christian. End of story.
Absolutely right. And that is the point, that when we, you know, pray and sing God Bless America, it is a song that has meaning not only for people in America, but people outside of America who look at the United States as a place of hope and God's blessing. So, you know,
Chris, excuse me for a second. I don't think the American people understand that, because they did not live anywhere out of America. Me, as an Egyptian myself, and I guarantee you, Christian all over the Muslim world, all over the Middle East, when America is blessed, when America is strong, we are in a much safer condition than when America down, like in the days of Carter, in the days of Clinton, in the days of Obama, and sadly now in the days of Biden. When you get these liberal, wicked, weak Democrat presidents, not only Christians in America are suffering, but Christians in the rest of the world are suffering. Because once again, when America is weak, the devil, Allah, is strong. And when Allah, the devil, is strong, trust me, Christians are persecuted worldwide. Anyway, we've got for the next song. Whenever you feel like, we can have him.
I'm going to do that right after this. I do want to say this. I have taken to From Reality at times by watching some really old television series. And there are things that I watched when I was a kid. In fact, you know, a lot of the actors on it. I mean, I'm finding out some of them are dead now because they're so old. But Leave It to Beaver. It's a funny little show. People would think it's ridiculous now, but it really painted a picture of the time that it was filmed, of what things were like in America. And I was watching it the other night, and one of the things that I noted is that they were studying the great poets, and the kids said the Pledge of Allegiance, and they sang songs like I would have sung when I was in elementary school, like God Bless America. These songs were incorporated into the teaching also to understand the Pledge of Allegiance, to have this love for freedom. And a lot of songs that were sung, you know, talking about God. I mean, we never had a problem to sing God Bless America. We never had a problem to sing at Christmas time about the birth of Jesus. All this was part of the freedom in America, but it also was a part of the culture that believed in God. And I'm just saying, it's really sad to see that. I mean, I like watching it, but it just shows you how things have changed. Not for the better.
You know, Christy, I agree with you 100%. Today, I am here in Minnesota, near Rochester, and it's sad. Me and Brother Kent, as we travel, we say, we know the American homes, the conservatives, from the Democrats. You know how? All over the conservative Americans, all over their homes, every house had a flag. It is the United States of America flag, or sign of patriotism. But the liberals, the Democrats, do not have a flag. I could not believe, if you had told me this, Christy, 20 years ago, that the Democrats of America do not like America. They do not like the songs which we sing about God Bless America. We don't like the flag of America. I would think you're drunk, or you may be under the influence of some drugs or something. But that is the reality, that you can see the difference between a conservative community who love America and a liberal community who do not have any respect even for the flag of the United States of America. Very, very sorry.
And
by the way,
in this,
we have,
No, I just want to say, concerning the schools, I am thankful to see parents standing up against some of the horrible teachers. Now, there are good teachers, but they're being restricted by their school boards and the National Teachers Association, which, by the way, when I was a kid, it was called the Parent Teacher Association. There were equal parents and teachers together working for the good of the school and the children. They don't have that anymore. This is just a National Teachers Association. And when they won't allow parents to even have input, but parents are getting angry. Some of the horrible stuff that's being promoted in the school system, and parents are sick of it. And I thank God for that, because that's the beginning of where we can come back. And if you haven't seen catch it, because you as a parent with kids in school need to know what they are doing in the school system to pervert the minds of kids. Anyway,
all right.
But thank the Lord.
We'll see. Have another song. It is the bottom of the hour. Hopefully, far from now, we're going to have Brother Kent to play another song for us at the top of the hour. And this song is America the Beautiful. America the Beautiful with Kent Larson.
Are we doing that right now? Ah, very good. Go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you so much, Brother Kent, for this wonderful song, America the Beautiful. Of course, you guys know the words of these songs, and I love them, and I love them because that's asking God's blessing on America from sea to shining sea. Amen. Go ahead,
yes, and it says, crown thy good with brotherhood. And, you know, as we go away from good, who is good? God is good. And
amen. And
we need to be there. And we used, that's another song. We used to sing that all the time in school. You see, this is how our children are being changed. But another thing that I want to bring up that is really good is we have 20 now states have filed against the Biden administration that say unconstitutional new laws on sex and gender discrimination in the school. They are fighting this. And I'm just going to tell you, a lot of these states, Mississippi is one, Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, West Virginia have joined Ohio, who started the lawsuit. I'm telling you, you better.
None of the liberal states are going to be part of us, not California, not Illinois, not New York, not Oregon, not Washington. What's wrong with them liberal states?
Well, here's the problem. God is revealing, seriously, what is going on. But there's plenty of people in some of those liberal states who want the same things. But I'm telling you, you know, when, you know, I was writing in my book and I said there were going to be so much division. I didn't say this because I'm a prophet. I'm reading the Bible. I'm looking at the things it says. And I believed and wrote, you know, 2001, that the nation would be divided. And this is the kind of division we're seeing, Usama, just what you were talking about. It doesn't mean every person in those states believes in these liberal ideas. But as we know now, the elections have been manipulated and stolen and dominated by the Democrats in many of those states. So if you don't want to see your state being a liberal state, you have to get involved. And you know what? Christians have got to get involved and pray, not only pray, but make your voices heard, because that's the difference between these states that have filed this lawsuit. Their citizens have had the freedom to speak out. But I hear people in California that are fed up with the liberalism. I've heard people in other states like Pennsylvania, which supposedly voted for Biden this time. People are getting sick of this liberal administration. This is the time to, you know, speak up. Let your voices be heard. And don't let, don't let your fear of being embarrassed. You may not be alone. You would be surprised how many keep quiet. But I was just watching that lady, I can't remember her name, who spoke up in the parent, in the school board meeting and took them to task over there teaching about the police are bad and supporting Black Lives Matter and all the rest of it. She was very bold, but she now has an organization there that is also standing up against this stuff. So, you know, you might be the only voice and you might think you're the only one if you're living in a liberal state, but think about this. That's because nobody wants to say anything. If you speak up, yeah, people might think you're crazy, but other people will know they're not alone. Sometimes you got to ask God for boldness, you know.
I love it. Some people you think you're crazy, but don't worry, there's other people do not think you're crazy at all. So let it go. You know, Christy, as I've been traveling all over this country for the last 20 years, I've met all people of all mentality, of all beliefs. And I got to become a bold, thick skin, you know, when I talk to the liberals. And I have no problem to tell it to them for what it is. And I can tell from just the way I start talking. You know, is that some liberals have so much like, they like me a lot until they found out I'm not a Muslim. I'm not kidding. liberals in America will like me so much if they know my name is Usama. I'm from Egypt. And they talk to me very nicely. When they found out I'm a Christian, that was over. That was over.
Yeah.
You think it's the opposite. Because around September 11, which is just 20 years ago, when I was talking to people, people always worry about who am I. And I have to take the goldest opportunity, the earliest opportunity to explain to them, I am not a Muslim. I am a Christian. Well, guess what? Now, with the liberals, it's backwards. If they see me, they like me, until they find out I'm a believer and I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. And hey, I have a ministry to speak about Islam, to expose how evil Islam is. And these people will tell me, I'm not interested to hear you anymore. It's over. Trust me, Christian. If
crazy.
I told them I'm a Muslim, I love Muhammad, I love Allah, and you're my special friend, they will believe me. But to tell them who am I is backwards. Thank God, because as you said a minute ago, they are the conservatives. They are the Christians. They are the godly ones. And believe me, there's huge difference. Do you know that when I talk to the Christians, the born-again Christian conservative of America, by my spirit, the spirit in me, which is the same spirit in them, they tell me, when I saw you, the first moment I saw you, I know, and I know for sure, that you are a Christian. Can you imagine that? The Muslims, the liberals do not know. The liberals
they don't.
Do not know. And when they found out I'm a Christian, they don't like it. God help us. What happened to this people mentality? It's backwards. Evil is good,
but,
and good is evil. Go ahead, Christine.
I think the scripture tells us that in the last days, there will be people who, well, we know it. It says they'll have the mark of the beast. Their forehead and their hand. And I've really been praying about that because I don't want to say things that are biblically, scripturally incorrect. But it seems to me that we're seeing this in contrast to what it says about those who love the Lord, the servants of the Lord. They will be sealed in their forehead. It doesn't say in their hand and their forehead. It just says their forehead. And you know, you and I have talked about this, that that's a symbol of your mind, your thinking. And there are those who really, truly are so deceived in their mind. They really think they're right. They don't know the truth. They can't discern the truth. They don't understand things, right? And they also serve things that they don't understand. They're blind and they are servants of evil and they don't even seem to understand that. But when you have the Lord, your mind is sealed with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and you can understand what's happening. You can tell the difference between truth and lies, and you can tell the difference between good and evil. These people think evil things are good. It's crazy. But I do believe God is making it clear that there's a division. There's a division between light and darkness. There is a division between truth and error. And there is a division between those who will serve God and those who will serve Satan. And it's becoming clearer all the time. But we pray for people that are lost. We pray for them because you can see they don't know what they're doing. Speaking of that, can I share something else about that? That Joe Biden literally said in a comment that he visited the Tree of Life Synagogue, okay? That was when there was an attack on the synagogue. You remember that? And
yeah,
he said he visited it. And they said, no, we didn't. He also talked about some other things that are not true. But you know what? It's interesting because I
remember
what
he said. He drove an 18-wheel trailer too. Remember?
Yes.
But
here's the thing. I remember when my mom would have, you know, she was having these signs, you know, getting older. She was in her 80s when she passed away, but she would see something on television and she would literally think that she was actually there when it occurred. And when I heard him saying that, and they said, no, he wasn't there, it's like he fell asleep talking to the leader of Israel. He dozed off. I mean, it was obvious he was sleeping. And my mom would be watching something on TV and fall asleep. And when she woke up later, she'd think, you know, that she was there, that it, you know, that it really happened
it
to her.
It could be a psychological thing. You know what, Chrissy? I agree with you. It could be a psychological thing, which he does not know the real from the dream.
Yes. And this is one of the signs of dementia. And so, I mean, I was listening to him, and then they came out and said he wasn't there. And he never went there, but he may think that. So, you know, his mind is being very carefully controlled by what they want him to know. I'm serious. I think if they tell him something like, all the American people are so happy you brought all these Muslims to America, and they're just so thankful you did that, that he believes it. Honestly, it's like he's the perfect tool of Satan, because he doesn't know. And I'm not saying people who have dementia don't know the difference between right and wrong, but it's easy to confuse them. And he seems so confused. Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
Let's I want to talk a little bit about the problem of bringing Afghani men who are married to little children. And
Absolutely.
I know that the state now is in trouble, and they do not know what to do. And I can literally help them a lot. If they would just give me a call, I will go and I meet with anybody and explain to them not only the problem which we see today from the few Afghani, but the problem we're going to see all over America with all these Muslims who are openly child marriage abuse. You remember 40, 50 years ago, Christy, there were some gay and lesbian in America. Of course, there's always gay and lesbian. There's always gay and lesbian. But like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, way, 3,800 years ago, long time ago, almost 4,000 years ago, they were gay and lesbian. That is why God punishes the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Abraham. That's where Lot was living, but he's the nephew of Abraham. The difference between 40 years ago and today is that 40 years ago, there were many gay and lesbian, but we never knew about it because they were doing it in secret. I mean, who's going to go inside every house to see which man sleeping with which man, which woman is involved sexually with another woman? Nobody even thought about it. And if you see people living together, these things are just friends. They're roommates. They're not involved in this garbage lifestyle, but it's an abomination. It is, it's actually a curse on human, which brings a curse on the earth. But that's okay, because here is what I'm trying to say. Muslims in America, many of them have child wives. I guarantee, because it is, but the American people do not know it. The American people have no clue. And when somebody talk about it, you think, oh, he's Islamophobic. As a matter of fact, they are Muslim imams who knows for sure that there's nothing wrong about a man in his 50s to marry a child 7, 8, 9 years old, because that is the sunnah of Islam. The same Muslim imam will debate me and argue with me in front of the American people to say, that's not true. Muhammad, right. Aisha, when she was 18 or 28 or whatever age they want to put on it, they put a spin on it. So both, instead of 7 or 6, they make it 16. And instead of he had sex with her when she was 9, now 19. Just throw another 10 years to make Muhammad look bad. Deep, deep in their hearts, they know it. And they don't see anything wrong with it. The abuse of women in Islam is a norm of Islam. Muhammad taught them it's okay to circumcise these little girls just because they don't want them to have the desire, the sexual desire, that they will not commit adultery, that they will not be stoned. And every father and a mother, and we have videos of it, I'm not sure even who can find this video anymore, where a baby is crying, please, mama, please, dad, don't do it, please. I will be a good girl. I promise you I'll be a good girl. please, Mama, please, Dad. And with tears, and they opened her legs, and they forced themselves on her, and they cut them with a blade. Where?
Yes.
Here in America. Here in America, Christy Johnson. How do I know
yes.
that? Because guess what? I talked to a nurse when I did my presentation, Revealing the Truth About Sharia, Islamic Law, and I talked about the circumcision of the female, and I did it for the first time in the state of Sarasota, in Florida, in the county of Sarasota. That's where I used to live, in Florida. And I was so nervous to do this presentation because when you come to pieces like that, people will think, Usama, you're going to lose your credibility. That's not true. Muslims do not practice circumcision of the female. Little girl, come on, Usama. You're trying to spread lies like Muslims always do. Americans do the same thing, Christy Johnson. And praise God, in the first time I present this story, this sorrowful, hateful, angry, sick, maniac, whatever word you want to put, on Muslims who do that to their daughters, a nurse, an older lady in her late 70s, stood up, I guess 75, maybe 80, but she's an older lady. She said, Father Usama, what you're teaching us today about the circumcision of the female is true. And I said, how did you know that, ma'am? She said, I used to be a nurse in Missouri, in St. Louis. That is near where I live right now. And we used to have many cases where girls have a high fever, very hot, 104, 105. And we know exactly what is the story as we set them on the table, uncover their private parts, and we see a very bad infection. And I said, wow. How long ago this was, ma'am? She said, oh, for 30, 40 years, as long as I remember when I was working as a registered nurse at St. Louis Hospital. And I said to her, so what did you do next? She said, we immediately took care of them. I said, so what did you do? Oh, we gave them this antibiotic, and she gave me some names of different medicines they give to them, and they clean and do this antibiotic, and within 4 or 5 days, everything is great, and the temperature starts going down gradually, and then we give them this medicine and that medicine, they go home. I said, and so what you did next? Well, that's all. I mean, did you
yeah.
call the police, ma'am? No. We did not call the police. Why don't you call the police? Because what the husband told us, this is in their culture. There's nothing we can do about it by the police. Imagine with me, Christy, that nurse is telling the American people the sorrowful story about the abuse of the little girl by cutting their part of their sexual part out, that they will not have any feeling, sexual feeling. And they don't lose it for a while. They lose it for the rest of their life. They lose it before they know it. So they will not be stoned. You know what the parents think?
Yes.
The parents think they're doing their daughter a favor by
yes.
making her
yes.
a toy, by making her a toy for some man to make love to and enjoy himself. But she will not have any enjoyment. And if you ask them, are you sure you're doing the right thing? Absolutely. We're doing the best thing for our daughter. Why? Because what happened if she have sex when she have her feelings and then she commit adultery without being married and then we have to stone her to death or we have to execute her or we have to put a knife in her chest or we have to, whatever they do, shoot them by bullets. Here in America, we got these cases here in America. So I know I'm talking about that too much, Chris, but here's the reality.
No.
The same law which said to the Muslim to circumcise their girl when they are 4 or 5 or 6 years old, it is the same law which said they can marry their daughter at birth. At birth. So if a mama got pregnant and she birthed a baby and behold, the baby came out of the birth canal and the baby is a girl, the moment the father found that the baby is a girl, he can hold hands with another man, maybe 30 years old, maybe 40 years old, maybe 50 years old, as it was in the case of Muhammad. And they, both of them cover both right hand with a white piece of fabric, handkerchief, whatever you call it. And then guess what? They read Quran chapter 1, which goes like this. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. In less than 30 seconds, Christy, that man became the husband of the little baby girl which was just born. Now, when he can have sex with her, well, we got the evidence from the Quran 65:4 and the Sunnah of Muhammad 8:9, as it is written in the book of the Reliance of the Traveler. A book is written Arabic, English, side by side, 1,200 pages for the stupid Democrat and the stupid American to read and understand the reality of the child marriage. It is Sunnah. It is Sharia. It is Islam. It is Muhammad. How dare the U.S. government to tell these wonderful, godly, beautiful Muslim men who serve us 10, 20 years translating to us, almost lost his life many times during these 20 years, he was caught by the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or ISIS or somebody who found out that he's working for the infidels Americans. These people almost gambled their life all these years. And now we got them out of Afghanistan. And now we're going to bring them to America. And as we vet them, we ask, and who is this? Oh, that's my wife. Oh, that's your wife. How old are you, honey? Well, I'm 8 years old, 10 years old. I'm 11 years old. What are you going to do, America? Are you going to tell these people the truth that Muhammad was a pedophilia? Are you going to tell them the truth that Islam is a savage cult? Are you going to lead them to Christ and get them out of the darkness of Islam so they can come to America and be free as a people and free as souls, that their soul will serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they can be really, really set free indeed? Or we're going to bring them to America and we'll not have the guts to tell the truth about Muhammad, the child molester, the pedophilia, and we're not going to say anything about it, and we're going to just tell them, hey, you're welcome to have your wives in America, including this little one, but would you please say she's my daughter? Would you please don't say anything about it? Would you please keep it a secret until at least she turned 16 or 18? What are we going to do, America? Yeah. Hello? Oh, Biden, stupid people. Face the reality. Most of the girls coming from Afghanistan are already circumcised. That means they already been abused, and many of them are married to this older husband, or even if they are coming with their parents, somehow, when she turns 9, the neighbor Muslim men from Afghanistan or from Iraq or from some other country, they will fall in love with this little girl, and instead of he be like her friend, he will be her husband. And there's nothing you can do about it in America. This is the fabulous cult of Islam, Sunnah of Muhammad, the pedophilia, the child molester, the sex offender. This is what is coming to a city near you. Trust me, Christy. I say it again. Trust me, America. The same men who have no problem to be involved sexually with their wives who are 8 or 9 years old, they will be molesting your own little children. They will be raping your own little children. Ask the British. Ask the French. Ask the Germans. Ask the Swedish. Don't ask you some adaptive, the Islamophobic guy. Ask the people of Europe. How is the child rape cases in Europe? How many of these child rapists are Muslim believers? And if you really, really want to help the Muslims to take over America, just bring them in from Afghanistan, from Pakistan, from whatever Muslim country, even bring them from Europe. And they will take over this country by whatever means they believe in. And then you can kiss your grandchildren, the little girls, goodbye. Why? Because they'll be abused by the Muslim men. And you can't help it. It is the devil's teaching. It is the Sunnah of Muhammad. It is Allah, Satan, whom Muslims worship without knowing, practices. This is exactly what's coming to a city near you. Your daughters, your granddaughters will be raped by the same Muslim men who have no problem to marry their own Muslim girl at the age of 7, 8, 9, 10, no matter what is the age of the husband. I'm finished.
Well, I wanted to let our audience know if they want details about this. Now, I'm going to tell you, they will not, in these articles, explain what Usama is explaining, that this is the teaching of Muhammad, this is the teaching of the Quran, this is the teaching of the deed. But it backs up everything you're saying. So here is an article from the Associated Press. Afghan evacuation raises concern about child trafficking. Here is part of the story. I won't read all of it, but I'm letting you know this information is out there. It's separate from what Usama is saying, but it absolutely backs up everything he's saying. And August 27th, sorry, my little scroll jumped on me. An August 27th situation report sent to all U.S. embassies and consulates abroad, as well as military command centers in Florida, points to potential issues involving young girls and older men, some of whom have claimed to have more than one wife at Fort McCoy, a sprawling 60,000-acre Army base in Wisconsin. Okay, relevant portions of the document titled Afghanistan Task Force SITREP number 63 were obtained by the Associated Press. Intake staff at Fort McCoy reported multiple cases of minor females who presented as married to adult Afghan men as well as polygamous families. They are getting hit with this, and they don't know why. Usama has told you why. This is the teaching of Islam. And this report also says that these children have been sexually molested. That's what they're calling, or sexually assaulted by their, quote, husbands. Here's the other part of the story. Some of these little girls were married off to these men because they were wanting to escape from Afghanistan, and maybe their families, like Usama was saying, allowed this in order to get their children out of Afghanistan. But they're not going to be better off here because they'll still be in these marriages that are very abusive, and these are children. Another article that you can look at that explains what Usama was explaining, and I'm telling people this, Usama, because they need to know. You've been saying this for years and years and years, but people didn't want to believe it. But there are now articles coming out, and they'll probably be taken down, just like we've talked about before. This is a project. Again, it's not a Christian project, and they don't talk about Islam or tell you where this stuff comes from, that it is part of Islam, but it's called the ORCID Project, and it is explaining, in some cases, girls die as a result of being cut. These deaths can be caused by a range of complications, including hemorrhage, contracting septicemia, tetanus, or HIV, even due to unsterilized tools, like you were saying. They're doing this in the home. This is talking about things going on in Africa, but this is happening in America. So they also talk about the seriousness of this, that children have scarring. This leads to cysts, abscesses, and ulcers. Girls can also suffer in pregnancy. Some of these little girls die because they become pregnant very young, and they're unable to deliver a baby. They have an increased risk experiencing trauma and problems throughout their life. It says that women have undergone this type of treatment are 70% more likely to suffer hemorrhaging through giving childbirth, and they're twice as likely to die in childbirth. there are so many things that people don't understand, but this backs up everything you're saying. You explained why it's Islam. They don't explain why, but it's out there on the internet. There is a strong link between, they call it FGC, which is female genital mutilation or cutting, and child marriages. Among some communities, a girl is cut to ensure her marriageability or in preparation for marriage. Often once a girl is cut, she is considered ready to be married. This, in turn, can lead to increased instances of early pregnancy before a girl is physically mature. And anyway, all of this backs up everything you're saying. The missing ingredient, Usama, is they don't tell you. No, it is the teaching of Islam, wherever it is.
And Muslims do everything they can. Yeah, Muslims will do everything they can to stop me from telling the truth to the American people. And I believe that is the only way they can continue to come to take over America. If the American people know the truth about Islam and teach it to the Muslims, waking up these people, it is not right for this girl to go through what they're going through, from physical abuse to sexual abuse in little age to death because of childbirth. This is sick, and that sickness comes only because of Allah, Satan, whom the Muslims worship. Sadly, the American people do not know, and it's time for us to know it before it is too late.
Okay, can you give me just a minute with this last story about these child brides? Okay,
sure.
And children in Islam. This because I want to get this through and then we can have a song. This is an article, and the headline is Torture, Rape, and Acid for Child Brides If They Refuse to Obey Men in Afghanistan. A 15-year-old Afghan bride was left starving in a basement by her new husband and his family. The girl was tortured after she refused to be forced into prostitution. Sahar Gul had her nails and clumps of her hair pulled out. She had chunks of flesh cut out with pliers. She was married to a 30-year-old man around 7 months ago when she was just 14 years old. Her parents contacted the police after not being able to see her for several months. The case came to light last month when police rescued the teenager. Some members have been arrested. Her husband has already fled. That is the pictures that I posted. These articles, we used to see them, but now they hide this stuff. It isn't that it went away. It's just that now it's being hidden.
The stupid liberal media, the YouTube people took many videos out. The Facebook takes stories out as they're doing the Muslim a favor and they're cursing America, that great country we live in.
Talk one second, Usama, about the girl was tortured after she refused to be forced into prostitution. Is that part of Islam?
Well, you know what? Allah in the Quran said, don't force them to prostitution. But if you force them, Allah is forgiving, merciful. Okay? This is the reality of Allah's word. Don't force them. But if you force them to gain money, to get riches, Allah is forgiving, merciful. It is sick. Christy, you know what's amazing? You remind me when you talk about the 14-year-old wife here. I'm sorry to tell you, maybe she is not actually 14 unless she was married for a long time before that happened. Because I remember when I was married to my beloved wife, Vicky, in Egypt, since we are two citizens, American and Egyptian, we do not marry in Egypt in a church. We have to go to the mayor office in Alexandria to do that wedding, to do that paperwork, to make sure the government makes sure that nobody is forcing an American lady to be married to an Egyptian man. So believe it or not, as we sitting there, they were marrying the same officers, the same two guys, were marrying a Muslim guy to a Muslim lady. So they bought her age. They said, oh, no, we need to check the date. Excuse me, what? Listen to this. we need to change the date of her birthday. Why? Because then she would be only 12 years old. So they changed it again. He said, nope, no, we need to check it again. They kept correcting it until they make her 16 years old so she can be married to this Muslim man. They corrupt the legal paperwork. So now she is 16 years and 3 months, even though she was actually less than 12 years old. Welcome to Egypt, one of the top most moderate Muslim in the country, in the world, in the Muslim world. In the 57 Muslim country, Egypt is the best. If they do that legally on paper in Egypt, changing the date of the birthday of the wife to make her old enough to be accepted, don't you think the rest of the Muslims will marry them anyway, like it or not? And if they're coming to America, don't worry. They make the 9th, 17th. How do you know? You're going to argue with them? Is there an attempt you can do on her to find out her age? Open your mouth, honey. Let me see how many teeth she got. Oh, she got all 30 teeth or 32 teeth. Oh, that means she's adult. She's adult. They don't do that. We have to believe whatever paper they come bring from the country. The vetting of the Muslims coming to America is a comedy. When they tell me, like Obama said, we vet them, or like Biden now said, he will vet them. Vet what, you stupid? Vet what? You mean you're trying to tell me the papers they're going to give you is legally right because they have the age in it that she is 16 or 17 as a what? No. Do you think they're going to put the real names on the paper? Some of these people come up with completely different names because if they bought the real names, you found out how many churches they have burned in Egypt or in Iraq or in Iran or in Syria or in Afghanistan. So how the Taliban is going to come to America is very simple. They go to the offices of the government of Taliban in Afghanistan and they say, hey, change my name from John to Mark. Make me 5 years younger or 10 years older. And that's it. It's going to be a legal paperwork. You can vet them as much as you want. Well, guess what? You will never find that they commit any crime because they come with different name, different age, different city, different life. Good luck with the stupid vetting of the liberals of America. Now, I know we are very depressed tonight with six radio broadcasts, but guess what? I'm thankful to God because sitting next to me is Kent Lawson as he will sing to us. He will play for us the song, My Country, Tis of Thee. So I told Kent, what is Tis of Thee? He said, it is of God. This country, America, is of God. And believe me, you will never find a place like America.
Yes.
Trust me, you will never find a place like America. Not in Russia, not in Europe, not in Australia, not in Canada, not in Africa, anywhere, not in Asia. It is only America. And sadly, we're about to lose it unless the American people wake up and do what's right. So once again, here's Kent Lawson with My Country, Tis of Thee. Thanks, Kento.
Yeah.
You are the best. My Country, Tis of Thee. In less than a half hour, we're going to have Kent to play one more song for us as we continue with our program. Appreciate you, brother. Christy, back to you.
I want to emphasize the words in that song. song, Led Freedom Ring. No, I'm trying to make a comment. Led Freedom Ring. This is what Sweet Land of Liberty, Led Freedom Ring. This is another one of these songs that is categorized as a patriotic song, most commonly in the past taught in public schools in the United States of America. That is where I learned all these songs, in grade school. This is why it is so important that parents wake up to what's being taught now in your public school to your children. And if your parents don't understand that, if the parents don't know that, talk to your grandparents. I'm a grandparent. I remember this. And this isn't in a hymnal in your church, taught to children in school. And so, again, what have we done to our public school system? As one teacher says, I've got 180 days to turn these children into revolutionaries, meaning against America, against our freedom, against our liberty, against America the Beautiful, against Sweet Land of Liberty of the I Sing, Let Freedom Ring. Those are words the kids at school are never going to hear anymore. So thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. I want to do right now, USAMA, is place, as we have talked about the things that are going on with the Taliban, we've talked about Islam, I want you to hear this. This is a reading of an article that was posted, probably originally not in English necessarily, but it was translated to make everybody aware there was nothing to fear from the Taliban. And this was recorded, I think, on the 15th of August. But I want to play it because then I don't have to read the article. And you can hear what is being said by the Taliban in this article. It's a minute and it's less than 2 minutes long. So I want you to listen. And then, USAMA, I want you to comment about what's being said in this article. Because this is what they posted from the Taliban leadership. Here we go.
Taliban executions, forced marriages in Taliban-held areas. In public statements, the Islamist militant group has pledged it wouldn't seek vengeance against government officials and troops. By Saeed Shah, photographs by Victor J. Blue for the Wall Street Journal. August 12, 2021, 11:07 a.m. Eastern Time. Kabul Taliban leaders have publicly pledged to be magnanimous in victory, assuring government officials, troops, and the people of Afghanistan that they have nothing to fear as ever larger swaths of the country fall under their control. But Afghans pouring into Kabul and those still in Taliban-held areas say they have witnessed unprovoked attacks on civilians and executions of captured soldiers. In addition, they say Taliban commanders have demanded that communities turn over unmarried women to become wives for their fighters, a form of sexual violence, human rights groups say. The U.S. Embassy in Kabul said Thursday that it had received reports of the Taliban executing members of the Afghan military who had surrendered. Deeply disturbing and could constitute war crimes, the embassy said on Twitter. A Taliban spokesman, Zabihullah Mujahid, denied the group had killed any prisoners, saying that would violate its principles. He also said allegations that the Taliban was forcing women into marriage were false, and that such actions would be contrary to the rules of Islam and violate cultural tradition. On Wednesday, Mawlawi Abdul Qadir, a senior Taliban religious official, said in a speech in the newly captured capital of Badakhshan province that government soldiers who surrender and confess their crimes would be able to live like a Muslim under the flag of the Islamic Emirate.
Well, that's it. I heard it, and I know what's going on here. There are two different Islam, ladies and gentlemen. There are two different Islam. Islam, which we want to say it, and Islam, which we practice it. I've been trying to tell this to American people for the last 30 years. When you hear Muslims talk about Islam is love, Islam is peace, that is the hogwash Islam. Because I could not find anything in the Quran to support these claims. There is no love, there is no peace in Islam. quoting some abrogated verses in the Quran, which no Muslim practice except when they are weak, or except they want to draw a picture, a good picture for themselves. Notice now, these Taliban, less than 3 weeks ago, freed 5,000 prisoners of Al-Qaeda and ISIS from all over the prison. Okay? So these Muslim Taliban doing that for technicality, because guess what? While they're telling us don't be afraid, we're not going to kill you, we're not going to persecute you, we're not going to behead you, we're not going to kidnap your girls and marry them to the Muslim jihadi men, as it is the sunnah of Muhammad. No. They will do all that, but they will say it is ISIS who's doing that. It is Al-Qaeda who's doing that, the one which are all over the country. They will find a good reason to lie and accuse other people of doing what they're doing, because in reality, for the last 2 weeks, I saw enough videos of Muslim Taliban shooting on the spot, not one or ten, hundreds of Afghani Muslims were killed by the Taliban. They will continue to kill every military guy they catch. Even as we have heard in this article, those who surrender themselves. It doesn't matter if you surrender yourself or not, because revenge is the religion of Islam. Once again, Quran chapter 2, verse 178. Retaliation is ordained to you in the case of murder. A free man for a free, a slave for a slave, and a female for a female. So trust me, the Afghani military who lost, 50,000, 60,000, killed equal number, if not more, of the Taliban. Now it's time for the Taliban to revenge. Why? Because they're bad Muslims. No, America. They're going to revenge because they're practicing the commands of Allah in the Quran. They will be killing anyone and everyone they can capture, whom they know that they were working for the interest of the Americans, the one who empowers the Afghani to kill the Taliban. This is it, America. It is time to harvest, as Muslims always say. You put a seed in the earth, and the seed die, and the seed grow, and the seed become a plant, and the plant have fruit. And there was always time for harvesting what you plant. The Afghani government killed thousands of the Talibani Muslim jihadi. And it is time for the Talibani to revenge. They may lie, and they may say whatever you want to hear. Yes, we will not do this. Yes, we will not do that. Why is that? Because they're practicing taqiyya, Quran chapter 3, verse 28. They pretend to be friends with the people of Afghanistan. Pakistani Muslim Taliban have no right to stay a day or an hour inside the country of Afghanistan. Who in the world will say that we, the Americans, will let them stay in Afghanistan to practice the garbage Islam over the Afghani people? Because after all, the Afghanis sin against them. Taliban is a Pakistani jihadi organization. Have we done our job right? After 20 years of war, we should not leave one Talibani Muslim in the country of Afghanistan. No, we left Afghanistan for them, and we gave them $90 billion of equipment to help them to make out of them greater ISIS, greater Al-Qaeda. And trust me, they're not going to stay only in Afghanistan. They're going to move into Uzbekistan and expand on Pakistan, every country near Afghanistan, and they will continue to grow. And soon they'll have the access to the nuclear bomb, which is in Pakistan. And when that day comes, trust me, it is the end of the world. Trust me.
You know, Usama, I think it's really important that people understand this idea of revenge. So what you quoted, that verse, I know people heard it, but I don't think they understand what it means. And you explain it so perfectly when you explain that revenge is not taken against the specific individual who did something. It is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of a life.
I got you. Let me go a little bit more about that. Let me explain a little bit more. When we read in the Quran, retaliation is ordained to you We're not talking about Muslim killing the Muslim who commit the crime of murder, as we understand it from the biblical teaching. When somebody commit murder, by another man's hand, his blood must be shed. This is the biblical teaching of justice. But that's not in Islam. If a Muslim man, Sunni, start a Shia mosque with a bomb vest, and he shouted, Allahu Akbar, and he blew himself to 600 pieces and killed 50 or 100 people around him. Now, how is a Muslim going to retaliate from that man who is already dead? The Iraqis, Shiite, cannot revenge from a man who commits suicide bombing. So how does he do it? He found another good Muslim Shiite, good Muslim believer, who would put similar equal size of a vest, a bomb vest, and he go to a Sunni mosque, and he will shout, Allahu Akbar, and he will blow himself to 600, 700 pieces, and he will kill 100 or so of the Sunni, of the Sunni Muslim. So Sunni kills Shiite, Shiite revenge by killing Sunni. Not killing the person who committed the crime because he's already dead. How are you going to kill a man who couldn't even have pieces of his body left? Revenge in Islam is the most savage revenge. It is a great evidence that Allah, the God of the Quran, Allah, the God of Muhammad, is nothing but Satan himself. For when I, as a free man, kill one of your slaves, you don't kill me. You kill one of my innocent slaves. If one of my slaves kill you and you are a free man, retaliation according to Allah's command, it is not to kill the slave or kill your free man. The family of the free man will find the owner of the slave, the free man, and they kill him. If I killed one of your wives, kill me, I'm a free man. You don't kill one of my slaves, you kill my wife, the free woman. This is how savage the doctrine of retaliation in Islam. And sadly, nobody talk about it. It's like Usama Dakdok inventing it. Listen carefully once again to the word of Allah. Retaliation is ordained to you in the matter of murder, or in the case of murder. A free man for a free, a slave for a slave, and a female for a female. This is the beliefs and the practice of Islam. You're going to see it in Afghanistan, and you see it in Iraq, and you see it in Saudi Arabia, you see it in Yemen, you see it in Somalia, you see it in Egypt, you see it in Morocco, you see it for the Muslims who live in the West and the East. This is Islam America. Wake up and learn it before they practice it on your children. Because, believe it or not, for every Muslim believer was killed in Iraq, in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Yemen, these Muslim family relatives cannot wait for the day to come here in America to kill equal number of those whom we kill overseas. So there's already a lot of blood in our hands because our soldiers killed many of these Muslim believers. That's why they're coming to America waiting for the right time to retaliate. If I cannot retaliate for my father, well, guess what Islam teaches? My son will retaliate for his grandfather, or my grandson will retaliate for his great grandfather. This is the reality of Islam. Muslims, don't forget. I can tell you stories, Christian. It will shock you. But let me share at least one. Here is one. That guy from my city in Bani Mazar, Egypt. Villages of Bani Mazar, Egypt. That goes maybe 15 miles away from the city in some of the villages. He commit a murder. He killed somebody. He was caught by the government before the retaliation was taking place, and he was put into 25 years in prison. 25 years. It was a very complicated case, and he did not know really if he did or not. It's not like a cut case, you know. It was complicated. So they gave him 25 years. We call this in Egypt mu'abbad, 25 years. So he served his 25 years. Now he's coming out of the jail. And he found out that the family of the one whom he killed wanted to retaliate. So he decided to go ahead and travel to Libya. He left the prison, into the airplane, as airplane to Libya, and he lived in Libya for another 20 years. Now he's an old man. He's in his 70s. He's about to die. So he decided to come back to his town so he died and be buried next to his father, next to his grandfather. Well, as he go in front of Mr. Michael, a friend of our family, he come to our church, and a relative to many people in our church, he used to come just once in a while. He have a business. In that business, he sell lumber. Next to him, actually across the street from him, a little bit to the right, there is a butcher, a man who kill cows and sell cow's meat. And the family of the victim who died, not his children, grandchildren, because we're talking about 55, 60 years, Christy, after the crime takes place. The man is an old man. They were waiting in front of the butcher. As he walking in front of the butcher, they ran inside the butcher shop, grabbed the swords and the knife, the big knife, the heavy knife, which the butcher used to break the bones of the cow, and they cut that man into pieces in front of the butcher in the middle of the street. And they put the sword back to the butcher shop, and they went back to their village as nothing has happened. This is the reality of retaliation in the country of Egypt, one of the best moderate countries in the Muslim world. If you think of Afghanistan, Afghanistan is savage compared to the Egyptians. And I already told you what the Egyptian did 60-some years or 55, 60 years after the crime is taken place to an older man who died of old age to be buried with respect. They have to collect his body from the street. Not one bone was not cut to 3-4 pieces. It was a pile of meat and bones.
You know, Usama, I know this is something that people cannot imagine, that anything like that could ever occur in America. But I want to remind you and tell our audience that many years ago, when I was first working with your ministry and trying to educate people, and as I was learning myself about Islam, one of the reasons I got connected with you was because I wanted to know more about Islam and the truth about Islam, and that's how I met you. But the thing is, we were sharing about this. And I have a lot of videos, and hopefully we'll be able to post them on a new website where they won't be censored or deleted, and that is called Friends. And it's Friends, just like you would spell friend, but instead of an S at the end, it's Z. So it's friends.com or .org. I can't remember which. But anyway, Friends. And they're going to be a place we can post video, and hopefully it will remain there. We may use some other sites. I'm about done with Facebook as soon as I can transition, because someone got into my Messenger account, posted some vulgar video, and I believe it was a Muslim that did that. And the reason I'm saying it is I've had dozens of Muslims ask to be my friend since that happened. So, you know, and Facebook is opening up our Facebook pages now to be, when you go on there to do something, it goes, we have new things and we can share your stuff all over the place. So it's a little disturbing. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But this friend site, I'm going to hoping to post more video. We have one from years and years ago, and people would say, well, we don't need to worry about that. We don't have any Muslims here. Why would we need to learn about Islam? When I'd try to set a presentation up for you or schedule you somewhere, oh, we don't have any Muslims here. We're not worried about this. Friends, we are bringing thousands of Muslims to places in America where you never thought you would have a large Muslim community. If you have a military base close to where you live, there are Muslim men, women, children, child brides being brought to those military bases. So keep this in mind. You may have thought there would be no Muslims in Mississippi. You may have thought there'd be no Muslims in West Virginia. You may have thought there'd be no Muslims in South Carolina. There will be Muslims there. Trust me. This is the time you need to learn the truth about Islam. Go ahead.
You know that last week I was in St. Cloud, Minnesota. 25% of the population of St. Cloud of 60,000, so 15 or 16,000 Muslim Somali in one city. And trust me, the liberals will bring them in large number like that. You need to read my article coming up in 3 days. If you are not signed up for our newsletter, you must sign up today or tomorrow. I hope and I pray that you sign up because you need to read this new article. Because in it, I'll tell you why the Democrats are putting the Muslims in large number in cities. And believe it or not, even if you have a conservative state, which will not allow Muslims to come in large number like that, the Muslims are moving to your state because there is no law in America to say that as a Muslim man, I live in St. Cloud, Minnesota, I cannot go to Missouri or Louisiana. I cannot go to Florida or any Mississippi.
Right.
I can move
you can
as
go
a Muslim
anywhere.
Man from any state to another state. It's over. All what you need is one liberal, stupid state, like maybe Minnesota, with a stupid liberal governor who's telling the people of Minnesota, I'm going to continue to bring Muslims to my state, and if you don't like it, leave. Governor will continue to bring Muslims to Minnesota in the thousands, and then they will leave Minnesota and go to any state in America.
This is a serious problem, and we've just scratched the surface of the problems connected with Islam, the child marriages, the children that they will be having, will be going to your public school with you. We talked about this years ago, that our textbooks were being changed so that Muslims would not be offended. They don't want to teach about the Holocaust, for example. They don't want to teach the truth about Islam. They teach about Islam, but they don't teach the truth. As an example, I had posted about this program on Free 45, which is another site which allows you to post. It's kind of like Twitter, and it's sponsored by OAN, and which I like OAN a lot, which is One American News. So I have End Times in America on Free 45. Now, I posted about the show, and I made a comment about it, and OAN had just actually, after I posted mine, OAN brought a news story out about the Afghan girls and the child brides. So I had made the comment, you know, I just did this show, and somebody came on there and said, you don't know anything about Islam. They believe in the same God as Christians do. Anyway, it was just everything that we've been fighting about against.
This is a broken record of liberals who are defending Muslims and Islam, and they're super stupid. That woman is not a Christian. That woman knows nothing about Islam.
It wasn't a woman, I don't think. It was a man. But the point.
Man or woman,
but the,
I don't care.
But,
whatever it is.
But the point is, they're saying the same things that Muslims say. That could be a Muslim saying the same thing, because it is the propaganda that Muslims use in the West. It is what your kids are being taught, that Muslims believe in the same God as Christians and Jews, the three Abrahamic faiths. We all believe in the same thing. And so I just said, I'm sorry, you're either a Muslim or you are ignorant of what Islam actually is. Because Muslims will say the same thing. And now that's what the liberals say. And many Christians say this. So please educate yourself. And I hope and I pray that as you're hearing, and you'll go and check out these other articles. Yeah, you may think Islam is crazy. Maybe you think I'm crazy. We've been talking about this for years and years. But now the evidence is coming out. Don't allow yourself to be blind to the truth. These articles that I talked to you about these child brides, about the mutilization against children, females in Muslim countries, this stuff isn't telling you that this is Islam, but it is telling you it's happening. They is giving you evidence of what Usama's been saying for years and years. And now we're bringing this whole Muslim community into America. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know that in America, they're going to be confronted with the truth of the gospel, and hopefully some of them will get saved, God willing.
Amen. Chrissy, one of the major things which I did in as a minister to the Muslim Somali in St. Cloud, I was begging some of these Muslim men. Me and Muhammad went inside one of the businesses. We talked to the guy. I was begging him. I said, break the chain. Break the chain links. It is the same chain your father was tied to, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. It's time for you to learn the truth about Islam so you may set yourself free and your children after you become free. And I hope and I pray that that man took me to assist, and I left him enough material. He would just, if he would just educate himself, he could. And my heart desire is this, guys. I don't hate the Muslim people. They are victims of Islam, for heaven's sake. They're victim number one of Islam. Can you imagine you go to a hospital and you meet with a doctor and a patient coming to the hospital with coronavirus, he hit a knife and cut his heart off and kill him, cut his throat off? You can't do that. Why? Because these people who die, who are sick with coronavirus, are victims of coronavirus. They don't go to hospital to be killed. They go to hospital to be killed. So the doctor will do everything he can by putting them in the best medication he can offer, the best technology, the best equipment to help them to breathe, to get rid of the sickness of corona. That is exactly what we are in America for the Muslims. But I don't want the Muslims to come to America with coronavirus as an example. I'm not saying corona is Islam. Islam is worse than corona. And cause them to continue to grow in America with that disease and then spread it around. So instead of he marrying his own wife to 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, he will be raping your daughter. After all, the same Allah who taught the Muslims that it's okay, as Muhammad the noblest example practiced, to have a little child wife. It is also the command of Allah for Muslims to rape American Christians, American Jews, American Asians, unlimited number, because these are like concubines. These are like slaves. That they will come in America, and Muslims will be killing American men, and they will take their daughters and their wives and their granddaughters, and they will rape them, not marrying them. See, in Islam, you marry your little wife, who is the daughter, a free woman, a daughter of another Muslim man. But also in Islam, it says, I will kill your husband so I can rape you and rape your daughter and rape your granddaughter because you are uncounted number. I have a free right to have 4 little girls, grown-up women, whatever age, 3 Muslim women. And I also have the right to be married, to be involved sexually with unlimited number of concubines and slaves. These are the American daughters. These are the American wives. These are the American grandchildren, because Allah said so, and Muslims believe in that.
You know, Usama, let me ask you this question related to that. When we have all these little girls coming with these Afghani Muslim men, is it possible or would it be acceptable in Islam if these children are the daughters of Afghani soldiers that they killed? Could they take those children as their wives?
Absolutely. Yeah. They've been doing that. They've been doing that for the last month. and they will continue to do it. And they will come to America with their wives. And trust me, there is no vetting you can do to tell that man, this is a daughter of another man whom you are kidnapped and you are sexually abused. She is his wife, and there's nothing he can do about it. There's nothing he can do about it. We already have, let's say what, 5 or 10% of the Muslim Afghani who left Afghanistan are Taliban. Do you know how many Muslims left from Afghanistan to come to America?
Thousands,
over,
but I don't...
Over 100,000. And 10% of them is what? 10,000. You already got 10,000 Taliban coming to America. And trust me, we're going to get another 10,000 Taliban to America. We're going to bring from Afghanistan enough Taliban members to destroy America 300 times. Don't forget, September 11, we're only 19 members. Make them 1,900 or make them 19,000. And America can be wiped out in front of your eyes in no time whatsoever. If you see how much the Democrats destroyed in America in 7 months, they destroyed the image of America to our allies, and they make us weak in front of all our enemies, and Biden did enough damage in 7 months. Wait until the Muslims come to America. In less than a year, you will not know America anymore. And I'm sorry once again. It's a sad, depressed podcast, but we have to tell the truth.
But we also have to realize we're not calling people to be overwhelmed with hopelessness. This is a time to be seriously seeking God. This is a time to pray for wisdom, and it is a time to learn and have the boldness to share the gospel. I wrote in my church thing, which I know people sometimes they don't like to read when I post the program in our church page, but I do. And I said, look, I apologize. Some of you don't want to hear this stuff, but I promise you the Muslims that are coming to America will reach out and convert people to Islam. They are diligent about bringing people to Islam. Why cannot the people who believe in Jesus Christ do as much, be as diligent about sharing the gospel? If you're afraid to share the gospel with your neighbor, how are you going to share the gospel with a Muslim? Learn about Islam, but first make sure that you ask God to give you the wisdom and the boldness to share the truth about who Jesus is, to share the gospel. You know, at the end of our program, I want to share, at the end of our program, we have a simple gospel message that we close our program with every Saturday night. Instead of getting off and not hearing that ending of the program, just listen to it. Take some wisdom from what is said there. It's a simple call to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that includes Muslims, it includes atheists, it includes everybody.
Yeah. I want to say something before we get Brother Kent to play the next song, and he's going to share the words of the song with us. It's so powerful. I want to say this. The top of the conservative of America, as maybe we think, a man by the name Dr. James White, he was deceived, he was duped by a Muslim man from Pakistan, near Afghanistan. I don't believe Dr. Imam Yasser Qadri is any different than any of the Taliban members. They believe in the same Allah. They believe in the same Muhammad. They believe in the same Sunnah. They believe in Jihad. As a matter of fact, I got the soundbite of Imam Yasser Qadri saying that Jihad was ordained to get rid of the Jews and the Christians because they're committing the sin of shirk. It is his own word. But if Dr. James White can be deceived by Imam Yasser Qadri, how in the world you don't expect that our politicians and the rest of the Democrats of this country will be deceived by the Muslim, which will bring them? They are here, and plenty of them are going to pretend to be the loving, peaceful, to lead the thousands, if not the millions, of American Islam. I already know personally some Baptist priests, Lutheran ministers, and a Pentecostal from the Pentecostal church members who converted to Islam and became Muslim imam. From a preacher and a priest to a Muslim imam, the deception of Islam is beyond your imagination. Once again, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Educate yourself and others. Educate the Muslim about Islam, because the only way a Muslim man or woman can leave Islam is it is if we educate them about Islam, to teach them about Allah and the Quran, Muhammad as a self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, and the Sunnah of Muhammad. There are no chance under the blue sky that the Muslims will leave Islam until we, the American, the Christian, the conservative, educate ourselves about Islam. This is the problem which we have in America. I can talk about this for hours and hours, but we're going to lose time here. So, Brother Clint, I'd love to hear from you the words of the song, and then, if you don't mind, play it for us. Yes, sir.
I'm going to play the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and the text is by Julie Ward Howe, and her words are powerful. They read like this. First verse, "My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible Swiss sword. His truth is marching on." Verse 2, "I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on." Verse 3, "He has sounded forth the trumpet. It shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on." In the last verse, "In the beauty of the lily, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on."
Amen, amen.
Awesome. And you know, when people want to say that America was not founded on the Judeo-Christian principles, that it was not founded on faith in Jesus Christ, these songs, these things tell a whole different story, and that's why you'll never hear that song in a public school or even in a public meeting anymore. Sad, but I love that song. My mom used to quote it to me all the time.
Amen, amen. Christy, so ladies and gentlemen, last song for tonight was Brother Kent Larson. Thanks,
wow, Kento. Thank
you had a great
you.
Job tonight. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. This is the repeated verse, what do you call it? The chorus for the song Battle Hymn of the Republic.
The Republic.
It said that, as Christy said earlier here, that we no longer sing that song in public. We no longer sing that song in school because America is turning its back against God. He came first as a Savior. And as Brother Kent was telling me during the talk of Sister Christy, he's coming back as a judge. America,
that's
wake
right.
up. He is coming back, and he's going to judge the living and the dead. So be ready, repent, and do what is right. Otherwise, the judgment of God is coming to you. Thanks, Kent, once again. Appreciate you, brother. God bless you. We'll see you some other time in the future. Mike, back
Kent,
to you.
Ken, I want to say that it's really been great to have these songs played on our program tonight. It just reminds me of the patriotism that we used to teach. And we need to start teaching it. And, you know, parents, maybe you have to send your kids to a public school. But you can sing these songs with your children in your home. You can sing them in your church, you know. Teach your kids the truth about America, and let's get this country back to Jesus Christ to repent. I mean,
Amen.
We had a beautiful Amen. Country because of the foundation of faith.
Amen. Well, it was a sad show. It's a truthful show. It's a balanced show. Thank God for the song. Thank God for the music. I believe that sometime we hear the terrible news of what's happening in America and what is coming to America. But if we focus our eyes on Jesus and focus our eyes on the words of this song, meditate on the words of this song, maybe that will give us the way out to be able to handle, to have some balance in our life. Yes, there is a storm, but God is in control. Watch Jesus. Look at Jesus. You will walk on water. You look around. You get distracted by the things happening around you. You will drown, even if you start walking on water as Peter did. So let's continue to pray that God will have his mercy. God will show his, as we started our program today, Jonah was speaking to God. God, you are merciful. You are slow to anger, and you are great, and you are of great kindness, and repent of the evil. So who knows? Maybe a revival will come to America after this storm which we're living in the last 7 months or 8 months. And we're not even the first year of Biden presidency. And I will not accept neither him or what he's doing to this great country. And I hope and I pray more of the liberal will wake up before, if we don't, it will be a great fall. I know for sure it will be a great fall. Christy.
Yes, I agree with you, Usama, completely. We have the potential to see things turned around and for this country to come back to faith in the Lord, the God of the Bible. We have that possibility because people are seeing the evil. They're seeing what's coming, and this is a time, that potential for revival, just like in Nineveh when Jonah went. That potential was there. There has to be true repentance. And if not, then we'll look forward to the return of Christ. But I've always said, and you saw my people hated it. I said, don't think that Christians in America will not see persecution. I've been saying that for 30, 40 years because God blessed our country, but it says to him to whom much is given, much shall be required. We were blessed in a special way by the Lord.
Christy,
and we have a,
I know,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I know we're out of time. Kid, do you have a Bible near you of any chance? I was going to ask you to look at Jonah prayer in chapter 2. If you have time. But if not, that's okay. It's number one, guys, because we're out of time. We only have 1 minute left. Jonah prayed from inside the belly of the fish. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. If Jonah can live in this experience, we in America today can live the same spirit and have the same victory which Jonah had. He has sinned against God, and we have sinned against God. And God performed miracle in Jonah's life. He can perform a greater even miracle in the life of the American people. Those who will cry out to him, those who will pray and ask him to deliver them from whatever crisis we're going through right now in this country. But I encourage you all to read the fourth chapter of Jonah, the prayer of Jonah in chapter 2. It's a powerful prayer, and I believe we all need to learn from it and maybe repeat some of its words to the same Almighty God, the God who is compassionate, the God who is loving, the God who is kind. This is the great news, guys. Our God is an awesome God, and he reigns forever. Amen?
Amen. Absolutely. All right, we have our gospel close. I hope people will listen to it carefully tonight and just think about this. Who can you share the gospel with? You would be surprised. Sometimes you start talking to someone about the Lord and they just come right up and go, man, I'm so glad you reminded me of that. Maybe they're already saved. Or maybe they'll say, I never heard that before. I've gotten Amen. Both responses out of people, but either way, you will be giving honor to the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Christy, for producing the show tonight. Thank you, Brother Kent. God bless you all. Good night, and see you next Saturday, Lord's willing. Keep me in your prayer as we continue to travel and do the Lord's will. Now, here is the end of our program, the invitation signs.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.